It was a monster, man. And a mash. It was a great big smash.
It was a mash. Na 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 na. That was a mash.
It was the monster, man.
It was a mash.
It was fucking monster mash.
Is there a porn version of the Addams Family? I think I'd want to see that.
It was the monster mash.
It was the mash.
I don't know the words. But welcome, everybody. Retro Replay. We're here in the basement. Happy October 29th. 2 days from Halloween. I'm very excited. As you can see, painstaking efforts were gone through to decorate the set somewhat.
Took us 5 minutes.
What, Drew? Took you five whole minutes. Took them 5 whole minutes, yeah, to put up one little happy birthday string.
I mean, there's balloons.
Yeah. There's a balloon and a bat.
Two balloons.
Where's the bat? Show the bat. There's a bat. I also got this great gift. You're not getting old. You're getting awesome. That's a fucking lie. That's what that is. Because the only thing that gets awesome when it gets older is whiskey.
That's true.
And wine. Things that make you forget your existence. Yeah, 2 days to Halloween. I'm excited. Yeah. I have a little bit, something I want to talk about today. Candy corn. It's horrible. I don't know why. Is it Brax? Like, I think Brax candy, B-R-A-C-H, they're responsible. That's the sound you make when you eat it. Like, bah, bah.
It's the worst candy ever made. Why? Who thought of making candy corn?
That is little pieces of wax that they put some sugar in, and they give it to kids, and, you know, just insulin goes crazy. I don't know why. Have you ever had candy corn?
Yeah, yeah.
You have had it. We've all had it, right? Yeah. Do you like candy corn?
No.
No. No. No. And I guarantee we could poll people. And if anybody actually said, I really like the candy corn, they should be put in an institution. There's no reason for that. There's no reason.
I'm not a big candy guy. Are you a big candy person?
Listen, growing up, having a birthday, having a birthday on Halloween, especially as a kid, is like the best. Because you feel, it's probably where my massive ego comes from. Like, I've decided, you know, wow, everybody's getting me a present. Even people I don't know, they're giving me candy. You know, didn't notice that other people were getting the candy as well. But Halloween candy, yeah, I did. I liked Halloween candy. Not a fan. There was another terrible candy that we liked for some reason in the 70s and 80s because there was no real candy. In fact, in the 60s, I don't think they even put sugar in candy back then. Charleston Chew. That some bitch was like porno long. And they had chocolate vanilla, chocolate, chocolate strawberry. Nobody got that one. And then for Halloween, oh, Charleston Chew Bites. Boom. They spent more on the packaging and you got less Charleston Chew.
Yeah.
Here's the deal. Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. All right?
That's your favorite?
Hey, everybody out there, Reese's Peanut Butter Cups or Snickers. Not the snack size. Let's go a little bit bigger. Doesn't have to be the full bar. Find a happy medium. Snickers, Reese's. We're done. A rat called Mago. Okay, stop. You named a rat. Why would you name a rat? It's a rat.
Well,
hey, it's not Fievel.
I mean, this rat's special, though. Keep reading.
Oh, it's a special. Yeah, keep reading. Okay. Rat Magua awarded prestigious gold medal for Cambodia landmine detection. Magua, an African giant pouched rat. Wait, a rat with a pouch?
Yeah.
Isn't that a kangaroo? A marsupial?
Well, it's smaller than a kangaroo.
Or has he got like a satchel? They put a satchel over its little...
It's like
he succeeded in becoming the first rodent to receive a gold medal for his work. I'm sure he loves that. We didn't want a plate of nuts or some cheese. No, he wanted a gold medal for his work in sniffing out unexploded landmines and saving countless lives in Cambodia. Well, that's a good thing. I mean, you know, you can get using excellent sense of smell and memory. Magua, it's a rat. Just so you remember, has discovered 39 landmines and 28 items of unexploded ordnance and can search an area the size of a tennis court in 30 minutes. That's not that big a land.
Well, for a rat, that's pretty good. Listen,
I think a bloodhound could probably get a half an acre.
Yeah, but...
And have you been on a tennis court lately?
Well,
and are we talking about the outer boundaries of a tennis court, or are we just talking the size of a tennis court?
Well, I think it's the size of a tennis court, but if you think about it, like, the reason they use a rat is because it's so light, it doesn't set off the explosion. So if you wanted a greyhound to do it, great, but you'd explode.
Oh, my God. Now you know what you have in your hands?
Yeah.
You have a rat with an eating disorder. Because he's going to be sitting there like, hey, here's some cheese. He's like, I'm full. It's like, you haven't eaten. I need to keep my weight down.
Or I will explode.
Oh, it takes around 9 months to train a rat like this, and they can live for up to 8 years, unless they get fat. And they can live up to about 12 seconds. What'd you say there? Hermie, did you find a... I found it. Well, we got to take another 9 months, train another one. Yeah, shit, you should have thought about the head of that, Carl. I don't know, this is not a Cambodian accent, by the way. But I don't play to stereotypes. So everybody who works with rats talk like that. By the way, I did an independent movie one time where I played this guy who's in a car wreck and he's thrown into this jail in Mexico and he's paralyzed. And in a fever dream sequence, they actually poured, like, out of a bucket. They had a rat wrangler. Look it up. It's a real thing. They had a rat wrangler pour 30 live rats on my chest. And they were like, you can't move. I'm like, ah. And I have to just kind of scream. I said, we're doing this once. And they got it all set together, you know, and there's blood and everything. And I'm lying there. Well, guess what? Rats love sugar, okay? Guess what fake blood's made out of? That's right, caro syrup and red food dye. So all the stuff, they started licking and like nibbling at, and when I screamed, they peed and pooed all over me. It's a true thing. And the rat wrangler came in when they yelled cut. She said, you didn't tell me he was going to yell. You can't yell like that. I'm like, get him off. But seriously, because I'm pinned to this board because my character's supposed to be. Anyway, I think it went to like the Telluride Film Festival, stuff like that. And all people talked about was like, they use real live rats on that guy. And we had to do it a second time.
Mm.
And how much did I get paid for that? Goose egg. Nothing.
They could have got Richard Gere to do it for free.
Yeah, but. She's like, we had 30. Why are there only 28? He's like, I don't know. And why is there a snack size piece of Snickers here? Somebody eating Snickers? Lemmy Winks, South Park. You get it.
Don't look back, Lemmy Winks, or you'll soon be dead. Lemmy Winks.
Magua. And you know, the funny thing is, it's cute, but I am just not a fan of rats. Can't do it. I just don't know. See, listen, the rat can detect a landmine, but it's not going to defuse it.
Right.
There's got to be a guy who has to defuse it. Imagine him. It's like, how's your day? I work with a rat. My partner is a rat. He finds a landmine, and I hope it doesn't blow up in my face. You know? And what does a rat do? The rat just going over, he's like lighting a cigarette, going, be careful. That's smells live to me. Rats, by the way, rats shouldn't smoke because it will affect their sense of smell. A lot of people don't know that. That's why a lot of people smoke in New York City, so they don't smell all the garbage and urine. Let's talk to Tank Dempsey himself. Ladies and gentlemen, my buddy, Steve Blum. Ladies and gentlemen, Steve Blum. What's up, buddy?
What? Hey, man. Nice to see you.
Look, good virtually. To see you virtually.
Yeah, it's like I can't be in the same room with you. That's
right. But it feels like you're there because you're on a big screen TV, so you never look so good to me. It looks great.
Don't you even get started.
Look at you. So this is where Blumvox does all its stuff, right? Is that the famous
Blumvox, you bastard?
I call it Blum. Don't you know people you every time? People call every time, Drew, they say, do you know Steve Blum? And I'm like, I know Steve Blum. How many people mess that name up? Because it's B-L-U-M.
It's B-L-U-M, yeah. About 50% mess it up. I don't care. Just call me. I really don't care.
I know
whatever the hell you want.
I know who you are. You are Dempsey, and I hate you.
I hate you too.
For everybody, Steve has been in everything. People like to say, oh, Nolan North's in all the video games. No, actually, Steve Bloom is in all the video games. Animation. And you know, I was thinking about it today. I knew you coming on. Do you know I did my first series with you?
I know. Do you remember what the very first thing you said to me was?
No.
I didn't even know your name yet. You and I were sitting pretty close to each other. And you said, I just got a vasectomy. You want to hear about it? And you just launched into it. And you told me in graphic detail about the vasectomy. It was one of the most fascinating and nauseating things I'd ever heard.
And you know what? So, I gotta come clean. Never had a vasectomy.
That's what I figured.
I just wanted to talk about my genitals.
And yet
I always find a way in.
Our entire relationship has been built on a lie then.
Call of Duty, zombies. What you were famous for, like the meat bags and just some of the guttural screams, yeah?
Splattering gut bags and maggot addicts. I got to do a lot of zombie insulting. I was like the Don Rickles in the zombie world.
The maggot addicts.
Maggot addicts is what I call them. Yeah, but they actually played me quite a few of your lines, especially in the last go around. They played me a bunch of your lines, mostly because they were shocked at how touching your emotional parts were, because it was so broad and so crazy through most of the franchise.
Oh, and then
towards the end, when Richtofen really had that, you know, come to Jesus moment, they were all so deeply touched by that. But they would often play me a bunch of Richtofen and stuff.
Because they fed into that rivalry. And for people who don't know, we're continuing our rivalry on the TikToks.
I hate you with the passion of a thousand suns. I guess it's stabby time.
Stabby time. Stabby time, bub. Crossover.
Yeah,
I don't even know what that is, but it's like I saw my kids saw you do one. I said, I'm going to do one back. And then you did one. I owe you one now.
You owe me one.
I know you want, but it's always going to be you owe me one. I owe you one because it's too much fun.
I need and followers. Then, hurry up.
And then you know what we got to do? People don't realize that we've worked together for years. Not only do we have Richtofen and Dempsey, we have Wolverine and Deadpool.
And Wolverine and Scott, too.
Oh, that's right.
That's where we started, was with Wolverine and Scott, and they were bitching each other.
Oh, that's right. Because Jean Grey, we had a love triangle going on.
Yeah, we did.
I mean, she would not leave us alone.
Right?
Wait.
I know. Same thing with Fred.
That's the other thing.
So awkward.
And I talked to Fred about this. Fred's known for all the, you know, monsters and doing all these things and Hulk and the roars. He was the Beast in Wolverine and the X-Men. And I mean, it was almost like he had that Kelsey Grammer, like kind of very, you know, and that's really Fred's voice. That kind of soft-spoken kind of thing. Intelligent.
He's actually sickeningly talented. He's an amazing.
I know. And he's
his range. He is ridiculous.
Yeah, but he's got that massive ego, though. I mean, you know, everybody can't stand Fred.
I know. Just sucks all the air right out of the room every time he walks in.
So how you been handling all this this COVID crap? Yeah, I mean, you've been working from that studio, right? You do a lot of work there.
This actually isn't my studio anymore. This is a virtual background of my old studio in my house that I just sold. And my current situation is working out of a closet at Mary's house. Mary Elizabeth McGlynn, for those of you who don't know, is my fiance and voice actor and director, animation voice director. And we're building a house in Hawaii. So we're going to build a really nice studio there. But in the meantime, I don't got this place no more. This is where I was doing all of my classes from.
I recognized it from the class because I've sent people to your website. And I thought you were actually in that. That's a virtual background. You look really good. How does he get, right? Yeah. How does he get his head not to look all weird like mine when I use a virtual background?
I got a green screen, so that helps. I still don't have the proper lighting. It's still, you get a little affectations, and sometimes in the corners, like down here, you'll see a little piece missing or something, but it's pretty good.
Don't ruin the magic. I'm happy with it.
No, I am in this studio right now, and it is luxurious, baby.
So when you build the house in Hawaii, I just need a guest bedroom, and I will need just like if you, I'm kind of old school, so if you could just print out the, you know, the directions to the nearest 3 to 4 golf courses.
And you'll get menu options every day too. So just send me your list of requirements.
Of course.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I like meat. I like a lot of the meats.
I figured we're going to get a freezer just for you with a half a cow in advance of your visits. Mm. So, and
that's good. You know, but use all the cows. You want to use all the cow?
Yeah. We just lost all the vegetarians in your audience. Sorry.
There are no vegetarians in my audience. Well, there might be.
And by use the cow, he meant something very different than what you're thinking. So,
people like the vegetarians, I love that. They said, eat a salad. I said, salad isn't food. It's what food eats.
yeah, but you will have a place to go there. And you can record there, too. It's going to be really nice.
Yeah. Now, how are you getting by? Because we got what people don't realize in our industry is a lot of times we don't get to. We don't get to see each other. We don't record a lot unless, you know, we had something like, so we've worked on Wolverine, the X-Men, Transformers Prime. I got to work with you. Mm-hmm. Starscream, which we used to say Starscream in heels. He had a, they wrote Starscream in a very interesting way.
They did.
Yeah.
And if you split it up, it's Starscream. So, which somebody pointed out to me. So I don't know what that has to do with anything, but.
I don't know, but I like it. I like it. Yeah. Let's bring more of that. Transformers Stars Cream.
Yes.
Available at stores near you.
Exactly. In 3 delicious flavors.
Yes. Cheese, brown, and apple.
Cybertronian cheese.
Wait, is brown delicious. A flavor? It is now.
Delicious. Yeah, Energon flavor.
Yeah.
Yeah. That is correct.
That's what Transformers, that's their power source. It's like what they need.
How do you know that?
I'm a
that
nerd.
Is what sustains us.
I have a nerd.
It surrounds us.
We're all nerds, but I didn't know that.
I know.
I'm very impressed with that, Drew. That's pretty cool.
He's got a lot of spark, that fella.
Oh, look what you did, a spark. That's another spark. Reference. I knew that one. Heart I knew that one. That was really good.
Yeah, that was great.
Shia LaBeouf.
Yeah.
That's it. I was going to say that word.
It went sideways so fast. We're like 5 minutes in and it already went sideways. That was
there is no straight and narrow. It's always side. It's just split off. And then the editor sits there and gets really high and pieces it together.
So you were talking about studio and how are we getting by and all that stuff.
Yeah. So, but you were, now are you still doing all your website where people are taking classes with you and.
Yes, I'm doing that from home from this very location. This is just an unused spot in Mary's house. And I set up a little virtual studio here. And I used to bring people into the studio live as my guests. First 30 classes were by myself and it was sort of lecture style to get all the nuts and bolts of voiceover. And now I bring in people who are much better than I am at what they do and interview them. And then we do a live Q&A and we're doing that once a month. And
I've never been invited, Drew.
No, you haven't.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Do you know why?
Yet.
Because he knows I'm just going to turn it dark.
That's the problem. We have to teach.
Nolan, why'd you get into this business? I was on heroin.
Yeah. See, Uncle Noli will tell them bad things to do.
No, that's not true.
To reverse that is going to be really tough.
I really don't. I have very limited knowledge. I don't. People say, what's your process? I'm like, I don't know. I show up. They say, stand there and be good and we'll give you money. And I go, okay.
And I just, you want to be a guest in my class?
Yes, I would love to.
Would you do that? Would you actually do it?
Yes.
All right.
Yes, look, I've gone up 2 octaves to say yes.
Oh my God, all right. You're going to get a letter from my people very
listen,
shortly.
Listen, you know, I guess you have a short memory. You must not remember. You helped me out big time when my kid was little, my oldest, Cooper was little. He did Cub Scouts for 2 years or something. And some of his, they found out that I had done Richtofen and Call of Duty and the Cub Master's sons were in it and they loved it. And do you remember you came out to that, we went to that, I met you at that Cub Scout thing and we just, we sat up there by a table and these kids just asked us questions and we talked and
yeah,
so I owe you one. I mean, are you kidding me?
I love that stuff. And no, you don't. I love that stuff. That's actually what I live for. I really enjoy doing that kind of thing more than the work itself. It's so great. And especially if they don't know who we are and they don't care, that makes it even more fun.
Absolutely. And that's the hard part. That's what I wanted to ask you about.
Yeah.
I've done a lot of cons, but you and Mary, I mean, you guys were basically like, hey, we get free travel. We make a few bucks. Let's go. You get on the road, you get after it.
Yeah, we were doing 25 to 30 cons a year before the shutdown.
Are you serious?
It was crazy. Yeah, I'm actually so glad to be home right now. It's such a relief not to have to be getting on a plane almost every weekend. It was crazy. It was just crazy. I had a bag that just stayed perpetually packed.
I did three in a row once, and I thought I was going to lose my mind. And it's I felt like that third one, I was so tired. And people don't realize it takes a toll on your voice too, because
it does.
Usually you're yelling above the crowd for hours, you know, just talking to people. And that third one, I felt like I may have let people down, because they're like, hey, I'm a big fan of Uncharted. I'm like, hi, nice to meet you.
Can you do that voice? No, I can't.
It's like, I can taste colors right now. I'm so tired.
And we don't eat and we don't drink enough water properly. We're out. It seems like it would be a really easy thing to sit on your butt for 3 days and talk to people. But well, it's
what was the
it's
last just
staying
one you
present
did?
Also.
What was the last one you got?
Vegas?
With Vegas me. I was there.
Was it Vegas? That was the last one.
Yes, because we had that was the one with Miley Flanagan was there. And
Yeah,
we had dinner with Miley Flanagan. If you don't know who that is, Jakers. She's done everything. She's a sweetheart. She's genius.
Naruto. She's Naruto.
She's Naruto. It was it was strange. It was just it was a smaller con, but it was quick. You know, we figured we'd fly down 45 minutes from Los Angeles. You're in Vegas. Mm-hmm. And who would have thunk? That was the last one of the year.
I know. Didn't see that coming.
Nope.
I had 12 or 13 more already booked and just canceled them all.
When do you think we'll get back at it? I know Dr. Fauci was talking about maybe things will be a somewhat normal possibly this time next year.
Who knows?
Will you shut it down till 2022, or do you think
probably?
Because I've thought about that too. I mean, I think a lot of cons are going to try to do some virtual stuff, and that's fine.
I've done a lot of virtual cons already. Just shown up for panels and done a few signings virtually, and it's fun. It isn't the same kind of energy, but it's already kind of a hive of disease at most conventions anyway. And I'm super careful. I'm always using the hand sanitizer between each person. Some people don't even shake hands. They do the elbow thing. Brent Spiner won't even touch you.
He'll touch me.
Oh, lucky.
I was like, hey, guess what? You need some data. I got it for you.
Yes. Yes. Yes, you do. Yes. We all do. Back in a data.
Anyway, that's one of my favorite things is when we go to those cons and it's like, oh my God, it's Data. And he's talking to Jordy over at they're having chicken wings in the green room.
I know.
It's crazy.
I know. And then Hulk Hogan walks in it's bananas. Those things are just bananas. The green rooms are ridiculous in those things.
Worlds colliding. What was the first con you ever did?
I did one in Sacramento. This was back in the anime days, before people really accepted dubbed anime. I can't even remember what the name of the con was. And I was sitting there, my very first thing, I had maybe three or four shows under my belt and they just needed guests and everybody was going for free back then. I just wanted to go for the free flight. I thought, wow, free flight to Sacramento. That's luxury, dude.
That's the capital of California.
It certainly is. So I go up there and I'm sitting in this panel, and about 10 minutes into the panel, some guy stands up and he goes, why are you ruining the art form of anime? You're destroying this, man. And then for the next week, everybody started, it almost became like a riot in that room. People were screaming and yelling. And I said, I'm just trying to do voices for a cartoon. What are you talking about? I didn't know that it was subs versus dubs and otaku. They just weren't accepted. Dubs weren't accepted yet into the industry. This is a long time ago. And I actually got death threats. There was somebody who showed up at my house who was sitting across the street looking at my house. And I had to change my phone number. I had to change my email address. It was really, really scary back then. So I didn't do cons for like 10 years. And then eventually I had a couple shows out and people said, no, people have changed and the fans are really great. And they want to meet you and they want to talk to you. And I said, I don't know. And then so I did cons for free for many, many years. and just to travel and just to meet the fans. And then I realized, oh, some people are actually making money at this. This is kind of cool. So eventually it became the best of both worlds. And I really liked it. I really liked going to the cons and having conversations with people who would say that, you know, watching something that we had worked on, a video game or a show, got them through a really rough time, illness with a loved one, or helped their autistic kids start speaking for the first time. We had no idea anything that we were going to do was going to affect somebody's life out there. We're working in a rubber room. So it's become something that I'm kind of passionate about going to. And that led to the teaching ultimately by going to these cons.
Yeah. You know, I remember the first one I ever went to, sort of, you were there. And yes. And it was in Anaheim. I don't know what it was called, but I remember I had to take pictures, and Keith Arum at PCB had said, you should come down. I think he was doing his graphic novel. He set up a table. He said, I have tables. You can come sit down there. And I drove down, and I had to go to Kinko's and get like pictures of Nathan Drake done. I'm like, I don't know what I'm doing. And so I drove down with a bunch of pictures, and I found my way in. You know, there's no handlers. Nobody knew who I was. And I had the pictures, and I walked over and Keith, hey, there you are. Here's your table. I had a little bit of a mess up, and I looked down and they'd spelled my name wrong. And I put the things down, and I walked. I remember,
oh, God.
I saw you setting up, and you had all these different pictures, and I had one picture, and you had all these different things. I'm like, this guy's an industry. This is amazing. I don't have anything like that. And I went, they said, well, the green room's that way. And I remember walking down, and it was, there weren't a lot of people, but there was one line, and William Shatner was there. And I walked all the way back to the green room, and there was a guy who had done like 8 appearances on The Love Boat in the 80s, screaming at someone that the chicken wings were all gone and that he demanded more. And do you know who I am? And I turned around, went to the bathroom, walked back, got my pictures, dropped them into a trash can, and walked back to my car.
Oh, my God.
You had people, like, but nobody knew who I was. And I just was like, and nobody was telling me anything, where to go. And I was like, I can't do this.
That was, and yeah. It was a nightmare.
Yeah, it was a nightmare. And it was years later, and I ironically enough, years later, my first official one would be Sacramento, Sac Anime. Wow. They invited me up. And
that's a nice one.
Yeah, and it was nice. And it was just like, you know, it was my first step into it, you know, where you go up for, you know, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And I think I just did Saturday, Sunday. And I've subsequently done that a couple times. But, you know, that was the first time people were like, we're here to see you. And this is great. Mm-hmm. And it was interesting. So, and the last time I did Sac Anime, somebody pulled a fire alarm, and in the middle of a panel, around the street.
Was I at that?
You might have.
That's happened at a couple of them for me. Yeah, I might have been at that one.
You might be the guy pulling them.
In fact, I think didn't we have a panel together, and it was a big one, and they pulled the fire alarm.
Yes, that's right.
That was like the big panel of the weekend.
Yeah, and they had to cancel the panel, and people were losing their mind.
Oh my God. Yeah. It was just some dude who did something just outside the door. It wasn't even a fire, or it was something like with one of the food carts or something.
Yeah. And I don't think, I think it was, wasn't it like accidental? I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. Who knows?
But I remember because it was raining and everybody had to go out. The only time it rains in Sacramento, it was raining. And everybody went outside.
So do you like going to cons now? Do you actually enjoy that before it shut down?
Yeah, no, I do. I do. I get a kick out of it. You know, first of all, it was just, I couldn't believe how lucrative it could be. You know, you could go and, you know, all of a sudden you're like, I'm helping my bills. It's helping my family. And that's always like what I'm all about. Mm-hmm. But then the more and more you do it, the more and more people you meet. And it was a chance to see how, you know, I mean, you know how it is. When I was growing up, video games, that was like what kids would put their music on, just play video games. It was no big deal. And it was people kind of looked down on them. And now you meet people and either the animation or the video games. And like you, you know, I have the privilege of, you know, doing kids' cartoons, doing video games, adult cartoons, you know, all things. And so I get a wide range of fans, and to see how it affects them, parents come up, you know, thanking me because their son who has cerebral palsy and he can play games. She's like, you know, he'll never run and jump like Nathan Drake, but he can go on these adventures with you. Thank you. I mean, it hit me at a you know, a different level. You actually, I recount the story you told me about, and I'll let you tell the story, but about the soldiers playing Call of Duty.
Oh, yeah.
And you, I remember you telling me that story. I believe at a convention, or maybe out here at the studios somewhere. About how I couldn't believe that they play shoot 'em up games after actually going out with real guns.
Afghanistan. These guys were stationed in Afghanistan. It was I think it was some Marines, if I remember right. And they were on duty, and they were in battle, and they had watched some of their buddies die. And they would come back to their tent at night and play Call of Duty to feel normal again, which was just, it was the most counterintuitive thing I'd ever heard. But they said that that's what they'd be doing if they were home. And that was their sense of community by playing that game. And I just did another thing. My cousin is a chaplain. He's over in England right now. He's based in Minot, North Dakota with the Air Force. And they got stuck over there. They had a COVID outbreak. They went over on a mission and they got stuck there for an extra few weeks for their deployment. So these guys are all stuck in a tent. And he asked if I would do a Zoom thing just like this. And these guys are in this tent and they're asking questions about Call of Duty and other games, particularly the military games, are the ones that they really connected with. When they're dealing with that crap all day long for reals, it's just astonishing to me that it has that kind of an effect on these guys in such a positive way. Yeah. And gives them something to look forward to.
Yeah, I after you telling me that story, I remember I talked to a couple, you know, you come up and, you know, you can always tell like some of the military guys because they'll come up, Mr. North, how are you? Thank you so much, Mr. North. Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm.
You play Uncharted? Yes, sir, I do, sir. And you're like, you're military, aren't you? Yes, sir, I am. Yeah. I mean, just they are, that's drilled into them. And I told him about your story. And he said, well, I'll take it a step further. He said, sometimes we'll get a satellite signal. He said, and we'll be able to link up with our buddies back home and play.
Yeah.
He said, so it's not just playing on the console one-on-one. He said, sometimes we get, and all of a sudden we jump in. It could be 15, 20 minutes, but we'll get that things passing overhead and we are there. And it's like being back home. Yeah. And it brought it back down to this level of, wow, this is really cool. I love hearing people's stories. And it's interesting when you talk about what we do and how we have fans who are male, female, white, black, Asian, all shapes, all sizes,
all ages,
you know, creeds and beliefs. I mean, it's at all ages. You know, I signed something for a guy in his 80s in England who plays with his grandkids who were in Michigan. And he said, I'm better than they are. And I'm like, God bless you.
You know, so, bonding with this stuff. It's amazing.
And as I tell people, especially with gaming, it's recession proof. I mean, you know, you can't go to the movies, but by God, you can go buy a $60 game and boom, you got hours of entertainment.
I know. It's amazing.
What's been your favorite thing that you've done? I know it's a lot. Do you have any one that kind of, like for me, it's Nathan Drake. It just, that changed things for me. And it just, you know, I got roles after Uncharted that went against Nathan Drake. But that was kind of my linchpin, if you want to call it that.
Well, I understand that because you did all of the motion capture. You did everything for Nathan Drake. So that was as much of a journey for you as it is for the fan experience, I would imagine. For me, it's very different because I don't do the motion capture. I'm in and I'm out of the studio really quickly for most things.
Yeah, I know. I've asked you about that. I said, do you ever want to do motion capture? You're like, hell no.
No. Like, well, I'm not trained as an on-camera actor. I hate memorizing. I haven't had to memorize anything in 45 years. So I'm not even sure if those brain cells even function anymore. You know, I can do two or three lines at a time when we're doing some stuff. And I've done facial capture stuff, but the motion capture thing, I didn't really want to do it. And I've looked awful in that suit too, with all the balls all over me. It just doesn't work.
I tell people I look like 10 pounds of shit in a 5-pound bag. It doesn't matter.
No, I don't care about that, but part of it for me is I just don't like being in one place for like 8 hours. And
I can understand that.
When you do motion capture, it's like being on a set. You're there 8, 10, sometimes 12 hours.
See, that's what I like about motion capture, because I've done a lot of on-camera stuff, and you're not there 8 to 10 hours. You're there like 16 to 18 hours.
Yeah,
and most of it's just sitting around. Ironically.
Yes, that's got to be a cakewalk for you. That's got to be really fun and easy for you.
Yeah, well, at least motion capture, you're actually in and out in a normal course of a day. I've done, television shows where I'll show up for a 7 a.m. call, and I'm not home till 9 p.m., and I shot 2 scenes. But because of lighting, and then they had to get this person out, then they had to move sets, and then it's all day long. And you nap, and apparently, I talked to some people, they brought their gaming consoles, and they'll just game all day.
I don't have the patience for that. My friend Logic, is a hip hop artist. I've done a few.
Did he actually just say my friend Logic? Like, we don't know who that is.
Well, some people
don't. That's called a name drop.
A lot of people in my community
give him the name drop. We have a name drop. There you go. Boom.
I'm actually wearing the shirt from one of his albums. I forgot that I had that on. Anyway, I did a few music videos with him, and I would have like one line or two lines in the video, and I'd be there for like 5 or 6 hours.
Yep.
And I would just be sitting like, can I just do my part and go? Because it's hot and I have to wear this outfit. And they put me in a skin wig. And it was super fun. I really liked it. But man, just being there for all those hours, I would rather just get in, get out, and do the thing. But the thing is that Logic, when he's on tour also, and when he's doing these video game shoots or video shoots, if he's going to be there for a while, we'll bring a video game console. He's a video nerd. He's got a Twitch channel now. And there was one show, I don't remember where it was. I happened to be doing convention in that particular city where he was touring. And I finished the convention for the day. I showed up backstage just to surprise him. And I go into his green room, whatever you call it, for superstars. And he has this gigantic travel box, one of those heavy-duty armored cases that has this giant video game console in it. And he travels with that thing. He puts it on a bus and he travels with that. And he plays Call of Duty. He plays a lot. He's played Uncharted a million times. He's a big fan of yours, actually.
Is he?
But it was really funny to see somebody who was, he would just get off stage performing for 10,000 people. And all he wanted to do is go back to his green room and play games. That was it.
Oh my God.
That was what got him through.
Well, I gotta get
the rough times when he was growing up too.
Is that right? Well, mm-hmm. I'm going to have to, when this COVID thing's over, I'll have to have him down here, sit in the couch.
He's amazing. Yeah. He just moved out of town, but probably Zoom, I would think.
Where is he? Where did he move?
I don't know if I'm allowed to say it. I don't know if he's announced that.
Tell me later. Loud. I don't care.
Yeah.
I don't care. I couldn't pick him out of a lineup right now. because there's time. Listen, there's times that I'll just sit there and just start playing on Realtor going, what are the prices in Montana look like right now?
Ooh. Yeah.
It was
a place like that, and he ended up getting this ridiculous house for half the money of what he was paying in LA.
But I mean that's how it is. I mean, it's just that's interesting. Like, you're gonna go to Hawaii, which is not cheap. Mm-hmm. From LA. I mean, a lot of people just like, but where did the love for Hawaii come from? Like, I love visiting there, but I like being on an island is kind of like you being on a set. I'm like, oh no.
Yeah, I kind of fell in love with Hawaii when I was a little kid. I was always a fan of anything having to do with the ocean. I was a big fan of Jacques Cousteau back in the day.
Oh, yeah.
Before most of you were born, there was a show called Jacques Cousteau. It's the guy who created
He was a French guy. I don't know why he just went into the Yiddish, but he was French.
But he was old. He was always old.
We used to do this too on Wolverine the X-Men. What?
Boy, did we ever.
Boy, did we. We was like the two Billy Crystals. Line, what?
Right?
What? Who said
hitching
what?
Up my pants. Hitch up your pants, you bastard. Anyway, I fell in love with everything having to do with the ocean back then. The first time I went to Hawaii, when I was a kid, my dad was a doctor. He had some convention there, so he got us all to go free. And I just remember stepping off the plane in Honolulu and smelling plumeria. And I thought, wow, home doesn't smell like this. And then looking in the water, and I could see my feet as I'm standing in the water in the ocean. Yes. You can't do that in Los Angeles. And so I always had this fascination with Hawaii. And in the back of my mind, I always thought, I'm going to live here someday. And I just never thought it was possible. And then 4 years ago, Mary and I did a convention on Big Island of Hawaii. It was called HawaiiCon. And teeny tiny convention. We made absolutely no money. I think we lost money at the convention. Didn't matter because they put us in this beautiful suite overlooking the ocean. But we met some of the most amazing people there. We met photographers and artists and farmers. There's this guy who lives in the con chair has his own jungle farm in Hilo. And he looks like a mad professor. He makes these crazy films. Amazing guy. And we became really, really close with these people. And we realized, you know what, there's actually community here. We could actually build a life here. It's possible. And Mary has the same love for Hawaii. She fell in love with it then too. Cree Summer was there and Aaron Douglas was at that con. And all of us just kind of bonded. But the thing that really got Mary, I think, to consider Hawaii as a home was one night we were out on the beach and they have these lights out on the beach in front of the hotel. And as you step off that beach, you step into darkness. The next beach over was public and there were no lights on it. And so we thought, well, let's go over there and see what that looks like. We were just curious to see if the ocean looked different, if there was any bioluminescence. We step out of the light and all of a sudden the sky lit up and we could see the Milky Way in a way that I had never experienced in my life. You could feel the movement of the earth under the stars. And Mary just started crying. I thought something was wrong. And she goes, look up. Look up. And both of us went, oh my God, this is, we really get a sense of being on a spaceship in the middle of the universe somewhere. And that's between amazing. That and then subsequent trips going out there, going out to the live lava fields when Kilauea was still erupting, one of our friends who's a photographer took us out there and we were watching the earth being born, lava flowing up out of the earth in front of us, 5 feet away from us. And then we got scuba certified and the first time we, get in the water for a big open water dive, we look up, we're about 30 feet down and there's a school of spinner dolphins right above us and turtles going by and sharks. And I thought, oh my God, I could do this every day if we lived here, this would be amazing. And there are 5 different climate zones or 7 different climate zones. Yep. On that one island, you can be in the snow in the morning and be back in the water in the afternoon. And it's just always called to me. I have Hawaiian tattoos all over my back and my shoulders that I had done by a Hawaiian chief. They're all authentic.
Wow, you're symbology. All in, aren't you?
I am all in, yeah. And that was before I even thought about moving to Hawaii. I had this fascination. I've had this connection with it since I was a little kid. And then I realized, oh my God, it might be possible. One of the ladies there who was running the convention happened to be a realtor. And she was saying, you can buy a piece of land in Hawaii for $200,000. I said, really? Like a nice piece of land? And she said, yeah, like 3 acres. And I went, wow, show me. And so she took us to the other side of the island. We found a piece of land that's 3.6 acres and we bought it that year. And decided we don't know if we can ever afford to build on it, but this is what we're going to do. We're just going to hold on to this piece of property. It's a great investment. And so 4 years later now, we still can't afford to build on it because we found out it's impossibly expensive to build there. Yeah.
Building with the red tape and permits anywhere, it's not easy to build.
We're just starting that process now.
I had a friend I've known 9 years. And when I met him, he had just closed on land out in the Thousand Oaks Westlake area. Mm-hmm. They just moved in about before COVID hit.
Wow.
It took him eight years to get through all the sewage lines. Public. It's just crazy. Well, you know what to do? Go out there, get yourself a place. Maybe you and Mary can be the ones who get a really good HawaiiCon up and rolling out there, and just make sure to stock extra toilet paper in the guest bathroom. And because I'll bring my wife, and she's
all right. And she uses toilet paper.
Like endless. See, I can say that because she doesn't watch this.
No, we're gonna have bidets. We're gonna go all the way. way, baby. You're gonna get a squirt up behind you.
Yeah, I'm gonna get recertified. I was certified in scuba, and I need to get recertified. I've done it, and it's amazing. It's one of those things where I want to do it more, but I didn't, and I need to.
Yeah, we only do it like once a year. I feel like I have to start over every time I go. I've got to go through the process again.
Yeah, but I grew up on the East Coast, so like you said, I couldn't see my feet growing up, and I had the misfortune of having jaws. Was killing people in Martha's Vineyard, which is in Massachusetts, and that's near where I grew up, guys. So, sharks. Now, if I can see it coming, I can punch it in the face.
You know what I mean?
Remember that comedian? Remember that comedian? He said, "Do you believe that? That's what people say. If a shark attacks you, just punch it in the face. Yeah, and if that doesn't work, poke it in the eye with your stump."
That's kind of true. Yeah, there have been very few attacks there, actually. They do have tiger sharks, but we know where they are, and they don't bother anybody.
We've already booked a trip with our Jill's cousins next May sometime. To Maui. They have a place there, so we're gonna go there for a few days. Or a week, maybe a week. It might be a week. I don't know.
Nice.
But it's good. But it's cool because the one thing that this pandemic taught us is that you can do your job from anywhere.
Yeah.
As long as you got a good internet connection. Don't let the lava hit that because lava is hot.
Lava is hot. It is not good for equipment. Nor is water. So keep your microphone out of the water too. That's always good advice.
I didn't know that part.
Yeah.
Shit. No more bedtime readings.
Those must be fun. Steve, I can't even imagine getting read to by you in the bathtub. That'd be fantastic. Will you do that one? You should do that on Retro Replay.
Retro Replay from the bathtub?
Yeah.
Shower stories.
I'll supply the rubber duck. Let's do it together, baby.
It's like he never gets to the end of the story. Why? Now it's time to wash my bulbous naughty parts. And when I say bulbous, I mean massive.
Oh, God.
I just say things like that to another camera for cutaways that we'll never use.
Oh, we're using that one.
Oh, we're using
a drain plug. It just clogs it.
Yeah, no. At my age, I just put one of my testicles in the drain plug and just tub fills right up. It's like, I don't even feel the tug. Oh, by the way, we were talking earlier, and I'm going to go at you, and I'll let you go after this. Since this is basically our Halloween special, you can see all the decorations they put up for me.
Yes, festive, very festive.
No, it's not festive. It should be more festive. They didn't do. They were like, sarcastic. Oh, that's right. Anybody got a balloon? That's a condom that they wrote on. It's not. And why you have a condom?
As long as it's orange.
It's orange. Favorite Halloween candy? And now, because we are both now, in 2 days, I'm over 50, and I know he's over 50. So here's the deal. I went back to back to the day with when they had Bitto Honeys and Charleston Chews when you were growing up. Now there's too much candy. And their sugar. What was your go-to candy on Halloween?
I'm not a big candy dude. I was hoping that people would give me money. Honestly, I would say no. It's what do you got in your pocket? No,
it's Halloween, not your bar mitzvah.
I know. I like the Reese's little mini Reese's Halloween peanut butter.
Why do you have to say mini? You lost me at mini.
No, they have the mini
big
ones.
Dogs. Let's get the big dogs. No minis.
Mini ones, because then I can eat like 50 of them. And I don't feel bad.
Just eat 25 of the regular size.
That would be what a logical person would be.
Yeah, well, it actually is not logical because they come in packs of two. You should have known that. 26 or 24 would have been the option. 25, unless you got one that had a thumbprint in it. Have you ever gotten that one? That's like some guy walking through, got some key, goes, I want this, and he squeezes it, and then you get that home. You're like,
oh. I like the ones with the needles. Those are my favorites.
The ones with the needles.
Yeah.
Remember the candy corn?
Yeah, candy corn. I'm the only person I know who will eat candy corn, though. I like them.
Cut the feed. I can't talk to him anymore. You eat candy corn?
I eat candy corn. I'll eat like three or four of them, and then I'll vomit, and then I'll wait till next year, and I'll eat them again.
Wait. Are these like CBD candy corn, Steve?
No. I grow my own. Fuck that. No. These are the legitimate, waxy, awful candy corns that everyone hates and will shoot each other
over.
Do
you know that's what they pull out of people's ears, right?
Yes.
And then they market them. Brax candy is actually an eye, nose, ear, and throat guy.
Why do you have a problem with this?
I don't know. Colored. I just think
they color them.
They are colored, but, you know, it literally
delicious.
Looks like...
It's just as good as crayons. Come on.
Well, that might be true.
How cute were you? Yeah.
No, can't do it.
I eat them nasally.
All right. Enough with you. I love you to death.
Did you get anything you can use?
It's all going on. No, nobody cares. Nobody's watching.
Good.
Nobody's watching. All this is smoke and mirrors. My mother watched one. She goes, "You look like you've put on weight." I'm like, I've never loved you.
But thanks for subscribing.
Yeah, thanks for subscribing. She's like, unsubscribe.
God.
She's like,
she's the one who downvotes our videos every time they go live.
Before our videos come up, the first thing up is a thumbs down. And there's only a couple people we think that could possibly be.
Oh.
And one of those people is my mother.
Dude, you have to have her on the show.
Yeah.
Well, you know?
You have to.
Okay, this will be the last story and I'll let you go. I actually, and I've told this to people, where I live and where LAX is, our studio we've done Call of Duty at, is in between. Mm-hmm. I had to take her to the airport, but I couldn't take her to the airport and then get to my session in time. It just didn't work out. So I took her to the session and then to the airport. To this day. Oh, hello. Is this the doctor? That's how she answers the phone. She will do, oh, hello, doctor. And Craig Houston, our writer, who's a mad genius from Scotland.
Craig,
who could do our voices better.
And then Dempsey comes in and says, and then the doctor,
he could do them all.
Right.
And
he dropped the accent. That's the only time he could drop the accent too.
Exactly. It's crazy. It's like when a Brit sings American song, it's like, he has no accent. And he's like, that song was inspired by my girlfriend's neck. You know?
Right.
And what I did to that neck. It's called neck. Anyway, pal, thank you so much for being here. When COVID and all this is done, we want you back here in person, and we're going to have a Dempsey Richtofen Jello wrestle.
Dude, what an absolute joy. I am looking forward to that. I am lubing up now.
I appreciate it. See? Lube up and stay fit. You look great. He's a vampire, I'm telling you. He doesn't age. He's a vampire who doesn't keep your candy, give me the money. Although
I only eat Jello and candy corn. That's it.
Put the candy corn in the Jello.
Yeah.
Like
there's
Jello
a thought.
A Jello mold. A candy corn Jello mold. That sounds actually, sounds by like the way, work. If it's green Jello, now I'm moving to Canada. Because green Jello's fine. The green stuff? Why?
I'm going to demand that when we wrestle. I'm going to demand only green.
Oh, you're going to get it. You're going to get it.
Okay. All right, baby.
I will see you. Whatever you got.
Yes. Hawaii? Let's do this. Yeah. Hang loose, baby.
Yep. Love you. Thank you so much.
And, I love you too, man. Thanks for thinking of me.
My best to Mary. Guys, make sure if you're into like learning about how to be in this business, this guy's the pro. I'm just kind of the lark who they let into the club for a while. And I have nothing to offer you, but he does. check it out. What's the website?
At bloomvoxstudios.com.
At bloomvoxstudios.com. We're going to put that up. And it's everybody, it's Blumvox. He just doesn't know. It's Steve Bloom.
I'll figure it out at some point.
It's a long U. It's a U. In Sweden, we would put the two little dots over it.
It's called the uvula, isn't it? Yeah. Yeah.
I know that's not a dirty part of the body, but I really want it to be.
The
uvula.
Too. Yeah, right? Hmm. Yes. I'm growing an extra one right now. I think I grew one in the course of this interview. God, what a joy to see you again, dude. I really miss you.
I miss you too, man. Here's what we do. Next time, let's. You know what we do? We're going to have, I'll call you. We have to have a bourbon, a FaceTime bourbon, because I know you're a man of scotch. You like scotch. And
I'm a single malt scotch guy, but I'll drink with you.
Ooh. Yeah. Could I do... We'll talk later. I have some okay. I got in Scotland, a single malt, that I will... Maybe I will do a drive-by. I'll just drive... Or I'll come over with a mask, and I'll sit out in your lawn. Just
shove a straw through it.
Through what?
A paper straw.
Oh, through the mask. Through the mask. Okay.
And then we'll film it in Jell-O. Ooh.
It just got hot in here. All right. Love your voice. Love you. Say hi to Mary. Everybody,
love you, buddy.
Steve Bloom.
Say hi to family for me. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Thanks for letting me soil your show.
Hey, everybody. What's going to happen? It's time to play Retro Feud or Replay Feud. Wow, we still haven't figured out the name. Pagan, did I go with Retro Feud? Yes, it's Retro Feud. We're playing Retro Feud.
Yes,
it's a Family Feud game that I do. I'm not Richard Dawson. I'm not Steve Harvey, but I'm doing the best I can. Damn it! Today's guest with me, Jen Miller and Tiny Hannah. Jen, where are you?
I'm in Seattle.
You're in Seattle?
Yeah.
Very, very cool. I may be spending a lot of time there soon.
Did you get in?
We're close. I think my son's going to go to UW. And I'm going to be up there. And I've already talked to the developers I work for, like Bungie and Valve, that, hey, I should come up and record there.
There you go.
And if you want to send me a ticket, I'm not
opposed. A tour guide.
There you go. Seattle. Seattle, great place. Now, and on the other side of the world... Hannah trying to keep her family, who's asleep, clearly not Retro Replay fans like Hannah is, or they'd be up, quite frankly, and I'm a little miffed. Hannah, where exactly in the UK are you? Not exactly street name. We don't want people Googling you and coming to find you.
I'm in Wales.
You are in Wales
in the UK.
You are in Wales.
Wales, I am.
I forgot about that. I was supposed
you
to do Wales Comic Con. No, I'm Welsh, and I've always wanted to go to Wales. And my favorite footballer, Gareth Bale, he's Welshman. Ryan Giggs, I know Wales. Lions.
All the connections.
Just making sure you know. He knows Wales.
No, I love Wales. I want to learn how to... They have one word that takes 8 minutes to say.
And I can say it.
Hannah, can you say it?
Hannah can say the longest name.
I can say it.
Yeah,
you're putting me on the spot now, Pagan. Thank you.
Sorry.
Go ahead. I want to hear it. Say it.
Sanfair Pusgwingis go get a chwindobl Santa Silio go go go.
That's what she just said. It has 109 letters.
What does it mean?
It's a town.
It's a place name.
Oh.
It's a town.
It's a place name,
what she just said is one thing. Hey, where are you from? I'm from...
Is there like a shortened version? Like
No.
You have to say it the authentic.
Yeah.
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 The people from the town either say Llanfair or Llanfair PG, for short, because it's too long. Even when they've recorded something for the news there before, they've just had to put Llanfair PG because the writing has ended up going off the screen when they've tried to fit the full thing on.
It's true.
It's wild.
Was it Naomi Watts, I think, did it on The Tonight Show? She said it, mm-hmm. and they wrote it down. Mm-hmm. Like, we just copied.
Well.
Not as interesting as Seattle, is it? Just as much rain, and Seattle has the Huskies. Let's go, dogs. True. Purple rain. Okay, let's play our game. Retro Feud, we always start off with this ridiculous disorganization that I created. what we want to ask you is a number between 1 and 10. I'm going to think of one. It's just to see who goes first. So I'm thinking of a number between 1 and 10. Whoever's closest without going over goes first. Or can choose to go second. Oh, that's a new wrinkle. I'm thinking of a number between 1 and 10. Jen.
8.
3.
It is 8, actually. Yes. Would you like to go first or pass? See, this is
getting real. I'm gonna pass.
She's passing. Okay. Okay, Jen, passing. Okay. Hannah, you will be going first. Your first question. And timer's on. There's no time. Name something that might be on sale at Phil Kensington's sales store.
The store itself.
Name something people donate.
Clothes.
Name a reason you would wake up in the middle of the night.
My crippling anxiety.
Name someone who gives you the best advice.
Uncle Noli, of course.
And finally, name a chore that people hate.
Cleaning. I don't know.
Well done, Hannah. We're going to tally up your scores first. Hannah's question, name something that might be on sale at Phil Kensington's sales store. Phil Kensington's sales store, buy my store and get me out of this shitty neighborhood. Number one answer, 50 points, Pagan. We also would have accepted demon dog repellent, soup and baseball bats and cheap shit. Oh, also Drew was for sale.
Of course.
Next question. Name something people donate. Number one's answer, soup. But you said clothes. 40 points. 40 points. My God. 40 points. A number two. Oh, my. That's phenomenal. 40 points. Clothes. She's off to a rousing start.
Better than I thought.
With 90. Yes. We are all
on first.
Name a reason you would wake up in the middle of the night. You said crippling anxiety. We were looking for stifling anxiety. That's a zero. Number one answer to watch retro replay or to pee, which is for a lot of people the same thing. So I'm sorry, that is a zero, but feel for you. Crippling anxiety will wake you up. Usually you wouldn't. When mine's bad, I'm not even falling asleep. Name someone who gives you the best advice. Number one and only answer, Uncle Noli. Another 50 points for Hannah. She's crushing with the number one answers. Well done. Also, somebody, I guess some people think mom, dad, or teachers. But, I mean, what do they know? What do they know? They've been out in the real world, huh? Have they dealt with the crabs and other assorted kind of STDs? No. Uncle Noli knows. All right? Pull yourself up by your bootstraps. That rash isn't going to cure itself. I forgot we're just taping this.
Yeah.
Finally, name a chore that people hate. Number one answer is having to wash Drew. And you said that. Cleaning. Yes, cleaning. 20 points. Also would have accepted laundry and ironing. Laundry is kind of like cleaning clothes, but cleaning. 20 points. Well done. Pagan, what do we got there? A couple number one answers.
Hannah is sitting on 160 points.
160? Is that what you said?
160, yep.
160. My goodness. Okay. Jen, this is going to be tough.
Yeah.
But
should have gone first.
We'll see. We'll see. Well, no, you don't. You don't know. Your questions are coming up, and they're just as fair. Are you ready?
As ready as I'll ever be.
Name someone who would compliment your mother.
Oh, definitely Uncle Sal.
Boom. Name an animal you would keep as a pet.
Mountain lion.
I'm sorry, you say mountain lion.
Mountain lion, yeah.
Okay. Hannah, you're doing very well. Name something you'd likely find in the retro replay studio.
Just soup cans.
Yeah, the answer's in front of you.
There's a whole lot.
Next question. Name a retro replay membership tier.
Drew's soup.
It's a good one.
Shut up, Drew.
Sorry.
This is my show.
Yeah.
Speak when spoken. Final question. Name something you'd be afraid to hear in the dark.
Richard McGonagall.
Okay, let's get to the answers. First question, name someone who would compliment your mother. She's a beautiful woman. Uncle Sal, number one, 50 points right out the gate. But let's not get cocky because...
I'm not.
Because Hannah came right out the gate.
I am prepared to lose.
But Anna, let's see. Name an animal you would keep as a pet. We would have accepted dog, cat, hamster, Drew. You said mountain lion.
You didn't ask if it was a feasible pet. I would just really like one.
It is not here on my list. It is not on my list. A hamster's like a mountain lion, though, right?
Yeah, I think really close, yeah.
Okay, yeah. Still a zero. That's my imaginary buzzer. Cousins. It's a zero. Crazy Seattle people. There's too much rain in their brain. There's mountain lions. There's a mountain lion. And ate someone's dog near my. I got rattlesnakes. I got mountain lions.
Where do you live? You live in Cal. You
I live in the.
You
mountains.
Make it sound like you live in the middle of nowhere, buddy.
I live in. As far as California goes, I live. People can't. I need to live somewhere where they don't hear Jill scream.
That's true. I thought that was you screaming.
No, I'm usually crying.
Yeah, that's right.
That's what's got you up in the middle of the night, Nolan? The crying.
You know what, Hannah? You know what? The other night, what woke us up? My son walks in. He goes, "My Xbox just came on." I'm like, "So?" He goes, "It's not plugged in." And then as I walk down to his room, I hear music coming from my other son's room. Open the door because I think he's playing his guitar at like 3 a.m. Open it up. He's asleep. And his laptop is closed and music's playing from it.
So when are you selling the house? Is it soon?
Oh, it's on the frickin' market. Are you kidding me?
You nuked that place from orbit, buddy.
Oh my God. It's like the old Eddie Murphy sketch. It's like, this is a beautiful house, baby. Ah, the kids play. It's beautiful. Get out. Too bad we can't stay, baby. back to the game. Retro Feud. That was a commercial break. Thanks for joining us. We're back. Next question to Jen. Something you'd likely find in the Retro Replay studio. Number one answer, Uncle Noli. But you said soup cans. Yes, 35 points. Soup cans.
Woo.
There are soup cans. PJ,
empty one.
Stephanie, Paul, all acceptable answers. Name a Retro Replay membership tier. Oh, the dirtiest of all of them, Drew Soup. Mm-hmm. Yes, Drew Soup for 40 points. Crushed it right there. Mm-hmm. And finally, name something or someone you'd be afraid to hear in the dark. You said Richard McGonagall. Number one answer for 45 yes. points. Richard McGonagall. I'm going to send a clip of this to Graham McTavish because it is he and I are the ones who have just promoted this. And Richard's like, they know I really don't kill people. And I'm like, are you sure? He goes, Oh, I love him so much. We got to have him on. We got to zoom him back in.
Totally.
You know, when he's not. And getting the mud from under my nails.
Yeah, I think he's going through his cleanse right now.
He's going through his cleanse. Okay. There's a lot. I think you got three number or pretty close. Pagan, Jen had to beat, 140?
It was, yeah.
160, 160.
Hannah got 160.
Hannah got 160, close. Jen?
Jen got 170.
170! 10 points? This is unbelievable.
That's crazy.
That's the closest we've had.
I expected to lose.
Before we go, yes. I wanted to point out that, throughout this whole thing, Jen has some beautiful artwork on her skin, but most notably, that retro replay.
Look at the retro replay! Thank God she won.
Right?
I'm having this taken off.
She like puts it like,
screw this place, just a circle with an
there
X.
There you go. You get some really good ink. I keep threatening to get stuff done, and I'm gonna do it. You know what? I think we should do it. I should film it and
live stream it.
I should live stream a tattoo, huh?
Yes.
Oh my God, 100%. Do it.
Yes.
See, Hannah, that gives me anxiety. I don't like needles. I have a tattoo.
I don't like needles either.
Is that Sharpie? That's a nice word.
Got to do it every day.
Can do it. You can do it.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate you very much. Keep watching.
Thank you.
Yeah, we'll keep playing whatever the hell I'm going to call this show. That's what we call it. Whatever the hell this is called. Welcome to whatever the hell this is called.
Guys, thank you so
thanks,
much.
Guys.
Bye. Thanks.
All right, guys, as always, it's time for our photos on the bar. Up first, we have Hunter Marema. Hunter Marema, there he is. Next up, Anonymous actually wanted to use her membership perk for a shout out to the pictured Kessie. That's Kessie Bear. Big hugs, miss her. Miss everybody in the conventions. We'll be back hugging soon, I hope. And finally, Legend of a Fallen, Tyler J and his guitar. I don't know if that is that a Fender? What is that? It's not a Gibson, unless it's a Gibson SG. I don't know. Cooper would know. But there's Legend of a Fallen, Tyler J. Our member shout-outs this week. At the Get Good level, Thomas Leach, Johan Eriksson, Cassandra Federowitz, and Jacob Bobinger. At the Drew Soup level, we have Luis Reza, who is also, I believe, is now an Altered Beast member, if I remember correctly. Skull Daisy Baby. And at the Altered Beast level, Lux217, Rainbow Dash, and again, I believe Luis Reza, recently upgraded to the Altered Beast level, so congratulations to you. Here is your shout-out. A birthday shout-out. Boo! Because it's a ghost. Get it? I apologize. Happy birthday, everybody. To me. Don't cut that part. It's not what I meant. You threw it up.
Happy birthday, Nolan.
Oh. It's Drew, right? I want to say it's Drew.
Yeah.
Yeah. See you next week, guys. Tequila.
Retro Replay stars Nolan North and was created by PJ Harzma, Drew Lewis, and Nolan North. This episode was edited by me, Stephanie Judge, and mixed by Paul Bach. This show is listener-supported, so if you like what you heard, please subscribe and leave us a review on iTunes, or join our community as a member on YouTube. You can choose from one of four tiers to support on a monthly basis. If you're currently a member, thank you for supporting and keeping this channel going. This show is brought to you by Red Bear Films and Retro Replay. I'm Stephanie Judge. Stick around for another episode, or we'll see you next week.